Hi, I'm Anna Harris, and this is the Defined by God podcast, a support resource for Christians looking for hope and healing from trauma and adversity. Join us as we interview experts, hear stories of healing from real people, and discuss and define common types of trauma, how it impacts us, and the latest and best strategies for healing and thriving. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today for the podcast. I am excited to introduce my guest to you today. Her name is Naomi Byers. She has a ministry in Australia called Naomi Byers Ministries, and she also has a podcast called Real Talk Down Under. And I want to let you know that you'll be able to find all the information and links on our in the show notes on definedbygod.com/episode23. definedbygod.com/episode23. Just before I bring Naomi on, I do want to give my listeners and viewers a little bit of a trigger warning. We're going to be talking about some sensitive, mature, and heavy topics today. We will be talking about some spiritual abuse, yes, but also sexual abuse within the church. And so if this is something that is triggering for you, you can, of course, choose not to listen to it. If you want, you can listen to it in bits and pieces. Also, I would recommend just taking a couple of deep breaths. In fact, let's just take a deep breath now together. You can breathe in. Let's take one more deep breath. And Father, I just thank you for every person listening. I thank you for protecting the hearts and minds of everyone that is listening to the topics today. And Father, I just also pray your blessing on the words that we do speak in this interview, because it's an important topic that people need to be aware of. So, Father, I just pray for protection. I pray for wisdom and for every person listening. And I pray for your grace to be on them. I pray for your peace in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring on Naomi. Hi, Naomi. How are you doing?
Hi there, Anna. I should say g'day, shouldn't I? That's impressive of an Aussie. I'm well, thank you. And a big g'day to your audience as well.
Great, thank you. Thanks for coming on. I know you've shared with me a little bit about your personal stories of spiritual abuse, and that's one of the reasons that it's so, I guess you're so passionate about helping other people recognize spiritual abuse and to be able to get out of it faster than we used to back in the, you know, back in the day before we began recognizing it. So, so if you want to just go ahead and start with your first story that you mentioned to me from the 80s, and I'll just let you go ahead and share that story.
Yeah, sure. Okay, guys. So just before I share any of this, I just want to be really clear with you about my heart and reason for sharing, as Anna has said, and thank you for the opportunity to share. My heart has been to see people recognize and recover from spiritual abuse and get the help that you need, because I don't know how broad your audience is, Anna, but I know for many of us like myself that have actually grown up in the church, like I'm second generation Christian, so I've always been in church one way or another. So when you grow up in that environment and it's all that you know, if you don't actually learn to recognize what's really unhealthy, toxic, and even abusive, then you'll end up being stuck in there, like domestic abuse survivors are often found and trapped in these places. So my reason for sharing is in not any way to bash the church. I love the church. I love church leaders. I'm a church leader myself. So this is not about bashing or wanting to apportion blame to anybody in particular. My heart and desire for sharing is so that you can recognize and see what spiritual abuse looks like and that you can get the healing that you need. All right, so I want to share with you guys, there are two stories I'd like to share with you today. Anna's asked me to share the first one, which happened to my family back in the 80s. So this is a really an intensely personal story. But I want to highlight specifically how a really difficult family situation was mishandled and mismanaged by the leadership of the church and ended up creating very significant damage in my family. The ripple effects are still going on 40 years later. So within my church, within my family, there was a situation where there was sexual abuse happening within the four walls of the home. This was reported to the pastor, and the pastor removed that person from our home for a period of only about 6 weeks. Now, in that period of time, that person was receiving ministry, our family was receiving ministry from the pastor, but unfortunately, and I don't really fully understand all the reasons for this, but unfortunately, my mother was really urged under the leading of the pastor to receive that person back into our home when she knew right deep within herself that person was not healed, that problem was not solved, and she felt the pressure of the leadership to take this person back into the home. And we're talking very serious abuse. Now, this should have been, and now here in Australia, we have had about 10 years ago, a royal commission into child and sex abuse in churches and in schools. So this should have been reported, and many churches now know that if they do not report, it's mandatory here in Australia. I don't know what the laws are like in your country where you're listening, but it's mandatory in schools and churches to report sexual abuse to the authorities. So that's what should have happened. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. And not only was it not reported, and not only was there not justice actually done in that circumstance, but my mother was pressured to put the family back together. And she had actually heard from the Holy Spirit, you need to give this person 12 months in order for them to really, truly repent. And instead of her listening to the voice of God, she felt under pressure because these were spiritual leaders. These were people that we trusted. My family were also heavily involved in the church. I want to make this really clear. We were heavily involved. My mother was like the kids' church pastor. My father led the worship from the stage. We were really heavily involved in the church. As I said to you guys, I was born and raised in church, so we didn't really know anything else. Now, in terms of the ongoing ramifications this has had, later on, this person was back in the home, and after a period of time, that abuse continued. It went on for a number of years until, my mother discovered it again. And at that stage, she chose to, she realized and recognized that the marriage needed to end. By this stage, we had moved to another church who knew the circumstance, according to my mother, knew the circumstance. And just so you know, I have full permission of my mother to share and her blessing to share this story because it's quite personal. So we were in another church in the same area, but in a different church. And my mother was leaving the marriage as, think it's fairly obvious. I don't need to really spell it out for you guys. You can read between the lines for yourself that obviously the marriage covenant had already been broken. But because of some teaching that is still perpetuated in evangelical and charismatic churches and probably other ones as well, so these are just the ones that I've had more experience with, this doctrine of marriage permanence that Mum needed to stay and work it out, but it wasn't safe. It was not a safe environment for my mother. It wasn't a safe environment for any of us kids. It was not safe for any. It was not even safe for the abuser. Let's be honest here, because at the end of the day, it's when these sorts of things happen, and they happen a little more than they should, let's be honest, there needs to be really good structures in place to make sure that everyone is safe and everyone is getting the help that they need. These things are serious. They have a lifelong effects on people. So at the end of the day, what ended up happening, because my mother got a divorce and chose to marry somebody else in a fairly short time frame, she was effectively removed from church. But because we were with Mum, Mum had sole custody of us kids, we were all essentially excommunicated from church. Now, if I can just talk about the personal impact this had on me, as I said to you guys, I love the church. I was raised in the church. I lived and breathed church, and I lived and breathed the Holy Spirit. I had a very close relationship with the Lord as a very young child. So I love the Word of God. I was reading it quite voraciously from about 8 years of age. And we're talking like the King Jimmy back then, Anna, because that's what we read in the 80s, right? In the charismatic movement, it was the King James. So here's my little eight-year-old self diving into the Word of God. I loved the house of God. I would often say on a Sunday afternoon, we'd had church in the morning, but I'd stand in the living room and ask who was going to take me to church, because I loved being in church and I loved the presence of God. And when our family was removed, I believe the Spirit of God allowed me to see it, but I actually saw the letter from the pastor excommunicating my mother and by extension the whole family from church, and it hurt.
It had to have. And that, what a double whammy for your family. As in the first place, you're not protected from abuse. So because of church teaching, let's just handle things within the church and not go to authorities. And also marriage permanence and forgiveness, let somebody work out their issues. Your whole family is not protected. And then when your mom is able to do something, then you're shunned from the next church. I mean, that's amazing. Amazing that you're in the ministry today and that you love Jesus and all of that, that you've walked through. So you've walked through a lot. So you'll understand what a lot of our listeners are going through as far as their journey, as far as saying, can I trust the church? Can I trust spiritual authorities anymore? I do love Jesus, but I don't know about much of the rest of it, right? So, So what was that? Like, how did you kind of navigate that time after being, you know, kicked out of the church?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Anna. Obviously, being a child, I didn't have much agency in what I could do. I was at the will and the whim of the church leaders and my parents, at this stage, my mother and my stepfather. And I had to throw myself on the mercy of God. So why am I still in church? Why do I still love the church? Why do I still love leaders in spite of what I've walked through? Because God is good. That's the simplest answer to that question I could say, is that God is good and you can trust the redemptive plan that he has for your life. So thankfully, I had, as I said, a very close relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I just continued to dive into the Word of God and pour out my heart before Him. Even though I was a child, I did not understand this. It took me many years later of processing this with counselors to understand what had actually happened. But I can tell you that God Himself reached me in that. He reached out right in that place and He kept me safe. And I really believe that He held my heart in that season. Now, that doesn't mean that there wasn't great damage. There was. But I had some very, very powerful encounters with the Holy Spirit at about the age of 14 and 15, which was, I realize now, when I was called into ministry. I didn't until my late 30s to recognize the call. But I had had some of those, but honestly, it was years later, many years later, when I was stepping into my ministry call and I realized, oh my goodness, do I have some issues, that I went off. I actually approached the spiritual leaders I had in my church at the time, who were wonderful leaders. I want to provide hope for anyone who may be walking through this and think, can I ever trust a leader again? Because that's a really valid question. So I had really wonderful, safe leaders here. And for many of them, they're like, you know what, Naomi, this is, you know, we're here to support you, but we really feel you need to go and see a psychologist here, which is what I did. And I had the favor of God to see one of the leading Christian psychologists in Australia. She's absolutely amazing, and walked me through this journey, because as you alluded to at the beginning of the program, Anna, it wasn't, unfortunately, it was not an isolated event for me. I had a lot of hurt to unpack, not just the dynamic of what had happened in family and the trauma, but because it was attached to the church, you know, there are a number of things I had to unpack. So, yeah, don't wait 25, 30 years, guys, would be my advice to you. Get the help that you need now, because help is available, and there's a lot more understanding around this now than there obviously was back then. So
There definitely is. And even for someone who might be a mother who is suspecting abuse in her family, we can definitely say you do not have to subject your children to that in the name of keeping a marriage together. So, you know, safety for your children is very important. And, you know, and we're all learning as we go. So you have another story, I know, that it's also a painful story as well. And I appreciate your transparency and your willingness to share it. I was thinking earlier, you know, the wonderful thing about when someone shares a story like this is it gives other people permission to share their stories as well, or at least to feel like they're not alone. You know, they're not the only one who has experienced something like this. So are you okay to share the rest of your story? Okay.
Yeah, I am okay to share the rest of the story. And I probably should have put a trigger warning before what I said earlier, but I definitely need to put one on now. Guys, we are going to be talking about sexual abuse and sexual assault and things like that. And it's linked to the church, so that makes it exponentially worse. All right, so this now happened in the 90s, early 90s. I was a young woman, age 18. Believe it or not, I was at that stage pursuing a hairdressing apprenticeship. I then went on to become a science teacher. So you couldn't be more different. But I was living in a share house with just a number of youth from the youth group of the church that I was attending. So after what had happened, what I shared with you guys earlier, my mother and my stepfather really started to, my mother in particular, really struggled to go back to church. I suppose many of you could understand why, but I really longed to be back in the house of God because it had always been my home. So at the age of 17, once I had a a license and I had my own car. I took myself off to a local church that had an excellent youth and young adult program, and I was very settled there. It was a really wonderful environment at the time, or at least so I thought. But with these young people that I was living in this share accommodation with, we had a housewarming party. And at that housewarming party, as young people will do, we had drinks. Now, I wasn't partaking of drugs, but I believe that was happening there. Let's be real, guys. Still happens with church kids too. They still do, you know, they're brain's not fully developed. They don't make the smartest of decisions. So I was drinking along with a number of other young people there. And I'm a very small, petite person. And when I was 18, I was very, very tiny. So it didn't take a lot of alcohol on an empty stomach to, you know, have quite the effect on me. So at some stage during the party, I actually passed out, and there was an older young adult there who was a friend of my sister that had noticed. Number one, he saw me pass out. And number two, he had been looking after me. I didn't realize this until after the fact, because there was a young man there who was stalking me at the party, and I was completely unaware of this. So when I passed out, he actually picked me up, carried me to bed. I had the key to my bedroom in my pocket because there was a deadbolt on my door, and he locked me in my bedroom. But unfortunately, there was a carport that this individual climbed up, and they climbed up into a two-story building, and they broke into my bedroom through the window. Now, I do not remember all aspects of the assault because of the level of inebriation, and I won't obviously go into any details, but I was sexually assaulted possibly for quite some time. I really don't know how long the assault went on for, but at some stage I became aware enough, perhaps I, you know, was a little less inebriated, and I became aware of what was happening. I remember just grabbing some clothes in the dark and running out because the party was finishing, and just rushing out to ask for help. And anyway, in short, a few days later, I was trying to go back to work, and I was a complete mess, as you would be after experiencing sexual trauma like that, especially when you can't really remember what's gone on, but you know that it hasn't been good. And sometimes your brain will actually shut down, and it won't allow you to, like, there's like an amnesic wall that prevents you from actually accessing some of those memories because it's just too painful for you to process it. So I had family members that were police that insisted that I go and report this to the police. So I went straight to the Child and Sex Abuse Unit in Brisbane and reported this to a detective, and from there an investigation was launched. And just in short, this person was charged with numerous criminal offences, and a proceeding, you know, a criminal proceeding went from that place. Now, if that wasn't enough of a trauma to deal with, what happened after that with the church was highly problematic and extremely damaging. So I went in, I reached out to one of the elders of the church and a counsellor that I'd spoken to before about other sexual trauma, and I told them what had happened. But here's the thing, this young man was the son of elders of this church, and the decision, well, I don't know what the decision was, I just know what was communicated to me pretty quickly, that I needed to drop the criminal case and the criminal charges, that I was going to ruin this young man's life, that it was the demon of drink that was involved, and had I not been behaving inappropriately, I mean, I was wearing a crop top then, that's what we wore in the 90s, a crop top, and had I not been doing those things, this wouldn't have happened to me. So that was that just did a number on my head for a number of years until I got until I actually had, as I said, in my late 30s when I actually started to have some counseling around this area. But I mean, that was the real kicker. And it got so bad. We're not talking about a single time. It got so bad that the officer in charge had to actually contact the church elders and say, if anybody else speaks to Naomi about this, you will be charged with interfering with a police investigation. So that had to happen. But what actually happened, the senior pastor, now he's no longer the senior pastor, he has retired. The senior pastor actually then decided he would try another tactic to assert his authority. And this is really like I love and forgive this man. I want to make this really clear, but I'm going to make a very strong statement here. It's absolutely despicable to get up and use your authority on stage to then go and preach about alcohol and why you shouldn't take it, and like as if I didn't feel enough shame already. That was the way. And now, admittedly, there was an issue amongst all of the young people, but pastorally, that's not particularly a sensitive thing to do.
Right.
And in addition to that, when I went to approach him to say, you know, that I wanted to repent before the Lord for having been drunk, his response to me was, well, there's a lot more things I'd like to say to you, Naomi, but I can't because of the police investigation, but we do not in any way endorse your frivolous behavior. That's what he said.
Wow. That is crazy. So talk about victim blaming here, you know, and, you know, it's crazy how we hear many, many sermons about, you know, what not to do and how women should dress and not, you know, tempt people. But we don't hear sermons about, you know, don't be a jerk and go break in someone and assault them, you know? And so there's definitely has been this thing where we protect the abuser, protect the perpetrator, and blame the victim. And hopefully that is turning around with, you know, the Me Too movement that we've had here. And as you mentioned, the investigations that Australia is doing, we need to have that all over the world, really. But that's really good what is happening with the investigations into, you know, sexual abuse allegations and things. Is there anything else about that that you can tell us, like just as an update?
Well, obviously, we've got some pretty high profile cases, Brian Houston and Hillsong being a part of that process. And it's an object, and like my heart goes out to Brian Houston. I'll be really clear. I'm not tagging the man. I'm really not. But this is a justice move of God. So there are a number of leaders. There are obviously some that are high profile. We know things have happened in the Catholic Church, in schools. My husband works in a very like the premium boys' school here in Queensland and in Brisbane. He works that none of these schools have escaped the scrutiny of this Royal Commission. And praise God, like I have genuine compassion for people, as I said, like Brian Houston, going through this and recognizing, whoa, we really made some really big boo-boos here that have criminal ramifications. But what I would urge all the listeners is to not stand in judgment, but allow it to be an object lesson to us for what actually happens when you touch a little one, the justice of God. And the, I mean, it's Jesus himself. I don't have the scripture off the top of my head, but it was Jesus who said, And it was right after the little children came and the disciples were trying to rebuke the little children. And he said, you know, let the little children come. And then he said, then he goes on to say, this is the Naomi paraphrase, by the way, but he says, you know, if any one of you actually causes one of these little ones to stumble, it'd be better for you if you had a millstone around your neck and basically went out into the middle. I mean, we worry about, wow, gosh, this is really strong. What's happening to Brian Houston? What's happening? But can we get back to the words of Jesus and what Jesus said about this and what's actually on the heart of God? If you cause a little one to stumble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus said, I don't use triggering words, but we can just strong words.
Yes. So, yeah, I used to think years and years ago, there were a lot of churches here that were exposed for financial issues. And at first I thought, oh, the media, you know, they just love to go after churches. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, no, it's me. I'm exposing things that need to be exposed and corrected. And I believe that this is also the Holy Spirit doing a lot of exposing of things that do need to be corrected because it's evil. You know, it's evil. And we don't want to be part of covering that up. So a word that you used the other day was cloak of shame. And I wonder if you could just talk about that. I think that was, you know, after the incident when you were around 18 and just the words from the pastor, I think you said you had felt like you were wearing, it was like a cloak of shame being put over you.
Yeah, that is a really good way to describe it. A cloak of shame and heaviness when someone in leadership, in spiritual authority over you, says something like that to you, I mean, how else are you going to respond unless you are educated, which is the reason why what you're doing, Anna, and this podcast and the one we did earlier on, if you want to go check out my podcast, it's Real Talk Down Under by Naomi Byers. Anna and I did an episode on toxic church cultures, and it really opened my eyes to, wow, there's just such a spectrum of what happens in churches, all the way from the healthy right down to abusive and cultic. So when when you don't know any better, I mean, you don't know what you don't know. Okay, so this is the reason why education around this is so important. And this cloak of shame is actually a tactic of the enemy. And I just want to say, I feel by the Holy Spirit to say this, Anna, because I have met some resistance from even some charismatic leaders and people lately talking out about this stuff. Like, you know, like, why are you talking about it? We don't share our dirty laundry within the family.
That's an abuse tactic.
That is the culture that's perpetuated. We don't share, keep it within the family. I'm like, let God be true and every man a liar. Like, the Lord rebuke that nonsense in the name of Jesus. Like, I've got to be firm here, guys. I know I'm stirring the pot and I'll continue to do so.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Good for you.
Go ahead. But it does, that weight of shame I carried for so long, and it held me back from destiny. And not just that, guys, I wrestle with really significant chronic illness in my body, and shame turns inward. And when you turn that inward, your body starts attacking itself. And I do believe that's the root of autoimmune disorder. So, yeah.
I agree. If you're okay, let's just take a minute. Would you just pray for the listeners? If there's anyone that's, you know, has a similar background or anything like that, just go ahead and pray if you don't mind.
I'd love to pray. If you don't mind, I just want to share an addendum to this story for hope for you, for healing. And then I'll pray. So it was Christmas of 2020. I was in another church. I was getting up during the service to go to the bathroom, and I as I was walking to the back, I actually saw this person who had assaulted me when I was 18. Mm-hmm. Now a middle-aged man. And here's the hope that I want to give to you guys. There is healing available. The Father's love for you is so relentless. He will pursue you. He will put the broken pieces of your heart back together if you surrender to the process of healing, get the professional and the spiritual healing that you need, because you may need some deliverance. You may need some inner healing. I'm just going to put it out there, Anna. I know it's a controversial topic, but you may need that, as well as psychological counseling. But I'd been through all of that. I'd been through the process of just getting my heart healed. And I saw this man. After 25 years, I see this man. Now, initially, it was a shock because I haven't seen him in 25 years. But do you know what then happened? I looked at him and I had such compassion for him because I realized I'm healed. I'm actually okay now. Mm-hmm. But you're still broken and you're still carrying the shame of what you did. And to be honest, I felt like you're actually not even really sorry for what you did. Otherwise, why would you be here? Here in this space where I am. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to let you guys know that you can. Now, I'm not saying that's for everybody. You know, for some of you, you need to leave that you need to never see the abuser again. Like I am not telling you need to go and put yourself back in that circumstance. I just wanted you to know that I recognized in that moment how God had healed me. Yeah. And then I went and reported it to the leadership because they needed to know that a criminal offender was in their midst of that nature. So they still had to be reporting because it's mandatory reporting for these things. But that's a message of hope for you guys, for any of you struggling through this. So let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for your endless love, your love that is so relentless that it pursues us, that no matter how far away we may stray because of what's happened, because of trauma, because of abuse, because of shepherds that have actually abdicated their responsibility. Father, we thank you that you bring deep healing to those under the sound of my voice. Holy Spirit, I ask you to pour in the oil and wine of restoration. The wine represents the blood of Jesus over any and all sin committed against you, and anything that may have come up out of your heart, the blood of Jesus speaks a better word, and the oil is restoration and wholeness and his ability to take your heart, the shattered pieces of your heart, and knit them back together as a unified whole. And I just encourage you, child of God, to trust the process, to trust God, and to lean into the wisdom and counsel of the Holy Spirit. And to right now, I come against the lies of the enemy. I break the power of shame off you. I say shame off you in the name of Jesus. And I break the power of confusion off your mind. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to give clear vision to those who are in this right now and may be feeling the confusion that comes from the enemy through this. Give them crystal clear vision and clarity so that they know what to do, Lord. And I also ask you, Father, through your Holy Spirit, raise up right across our nations safe houses and safe churches and safe places that will say no more to this in the name of Jesus, that are committed, that shepherds that are actually committed to shepherding people well in the fear of the Lord. Let the fear of the Lord be restored to the leadership in Jesus' mighty name. And for those of you that have sinned against us in this way, we say we forgive you. We release forgiveness over you. We release blessing over you. But we also step into the boundaries that you give us, Jesus, for our safety. And we press into that place and we push back the lies of the enemy in Jesus' mighty name. And overall, I just pray for every one of you that's either going through this or has been through this or whatever stage of the healing journey you are on, let your shalom be returned to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yes.
And Father, I just thank you for everyone listening. If anyone is feeling kind of stirred up because of any triggers or anything like that, Father, I just thank you for your peace over every person. I just thank you for bringing your peace, your love to each individual that is listening to this. And Father, we thank you that your healing touch is available, that your love brings transformation. And so we just thank you for the healing journey that every person is on. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. And I'll just say, I love inner healing and have done inner healing for people for a long time. And so people can reach out to me if they want to schedule something. I do trauma coaching and inner healing, a combination of that, which I find is a really, it's a great combination. It works really well. And thank you, Naomi, so much. I mean, what a story that you have to share, but also just the courage to share it. And just, I just appreciate that so much. So thank you. And do you have any last words for anybody?
Last words. Thank you for the opportunity, Anna. Famous last words.
Yes.
Yeah. I just want to encourage you guys that let it and think about what that word means, encourage. It actually means instill you with courage, like be filled with courage to stand and keep standing and, continue, someone like myself, I'm continuing to pray for reform in this area because, as I said, I still love the church. I love leaders. That hasn't changed. The enemy may have tried his best to try and change that story. That's not my story anymore. But I want to actually instill courage into you to push against the religious narrative and stand for truth and know that there is a clarion call. I have a prophetic ministry, so it gets a little bit prophetic. There's a clarion call being released into the earth right now. And there has been exposure, great exposure, and it'll continue to happen. And I'm telling you guys, it is God ordained. Hallelujah. Anna, I 100% agree with you. But there's a clarion call going out in the spirit right across the nation, specifically in the West, right, with our particular structures we've set up in our comfortable little church structures. There's shaking, and COVID was the beginning of that shaking, and that shaking is continuing even with COVID sort of moving on. That shaking is continuing, and a lot of that is really God ordained. And just have courage and speak out, seek help, and just don't – if you are in a situation – here's that if you remember nothing else from what we've said today, here's what I'd like to leave you with. If you are in a situation where you are being abused in your home, in your church, in your work, whatever it is, get out, get safe, and seek help. It doesn't matter where it is. Get out, seek help, get safe, seek help.
Yeah. Amen. That's very good advice. Very good advice. And getting a safety plan is very important, and doing it in a safe way. And so we just speak safety over every person that is getting out of a situation like that. And and wisdom. Seek wisdom and education as well. That is so good. So thank you so much. And we will close with this, but this has been just a great episode, and I think people are going to really benefit from listening to it. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you for everyone listening. You can go to Naomi's website that I have up here, naomibyersministries.com. I assume your podcast is linked there as well.
Have I updated? I've been studying this year, guys, so I will have to check. If not, you can find it on my socials, but that might be the nudge to get that done by the time.
Okay. And then you can find all the links. We'll have it here on the episode page. So definedbygod.com/episode23, and you can find the show notes from today. Thank you so much for joining us for the Defined by God podcast. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at definedbygod.com and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and email list.